All right, welcome back to Ravenloft and Ironsworn. This would be, I guess, session 19 or something like that. And we've got some stuff coming in. Things are about to get complicated. As you may or may not recall from last session, we ended things in a bit of a tight spot. Our delve move did not go especially well, and that left us, oh, wrong map. That left us sitting here in the study with some unpleasant fellas waiting for us. Presumably the youngish vampire who's corrupting Gertruda, and sort of the rest of, and then a couple of minions, sort of minions, more miniony minions even than that guy. So we have a bit of a problem. First of all, now I don't, Ironsworn doesn't play with miniatures, but I kind of like to have just sort of some sort of representation out here for these guys, so I've grabbed a couple of. I wanted some more slightly bestial looking guys for the minions, the servants, or the followers of this guy, so I've got these little kind of ghouly looking guys that are more. They're not sophisticated vampires. We're gonna drop a couple of these guys here in the back. I rolled one. I think I'm gonna. Basically, I wanted there to be a trap here, so I'm gonna put one guy back here in the back that's coming through the door. And this is partly for complications. If I want another guy, I can bring one in. And I needed my pretty little fang boy here, so I'm gonna bring him in. I had some fun making him up on Hero Forge just as a model. Isn't he just a poncy little git? So anyway, we're gonna set him off over here. This is, I mean, there's no movement type stuff in Ironsworn. I just want something to kind of represent, you know, where people are going to be, and you know, might as well have some guys with some character. So what we've got here is there's no vampires in Ironsworn. I mean, that's just how it is. There's no, you can't look in the Ironsworn book or in the Delve book and say vampires. What I am using functionally for just a general guideline for these guys is a husk for the vampire. If you, for those of you who have the book and want to check it out, I'm using a husk for the lead guy, and then a bone walker for functionally for the other guy, which is basically sophisticated creature of darkness who's, you know, angling for power at all times and can, you know, mess with your the moves on husk are, you know, dishearten, lash out with forbidden magic, bind lesser creatures to their will, consume the essence of others. Seems very vampire-y. And bone walker, you know, it. They're all on brand, is what I'm trying to get at. In any case, we have these guys, and this guy has very made it very clear that we're about to have a bad night, just because you know, he's decided that we have messed with his things, and repercussions are required. I don't really want to. I'm not going to put the like icons in here for Ismark and Irina. Of course, I have them along with. Which is fine, but for right now, I'm not really worrying about that. So, what happens in Ironsworn when you got a fight? And I did a summary of the fight with the gargoyle earlier, a summary of that fight, and you know, kind of broke it down. But we're gonna kind of get into this a little bit more. So let's take a look at Brigida's character. She conveniently has all the moves that I need to worry about for this. Fights in these kinds of games usually work out. Quite play out a little bit differently in D&D. Ironsworn, I would say, is a little bit closer to sort of a trad combat game in that you do kind of have a sense of having to sort of beat the bad guy down. If you have multiple weaker opponents, you rank the opponents the same way you would rank a quest or a journey or anything like that, troublesome, dangerous, formidable, etc. But if you have a troublesome or dangerous opponents, you can actually group them together. If there's like three or four or five and you don't want to track each of them individually, you can just say, you take five of them and say, okay, they're all one mob and they're one level higher, harder than they would be by themselves, which is fine and easy and works. The guy here that I'm using functionally, this leader boy, Fang Boy, I'm just going to call him Fang Boy. Fang Boy here has, he's formidable, so I can't group him anyway, and I wouldn't group just two opponents anyhow. Just for the sake of keeping track of where everybody is here, I've got a couple of, we've got the Castle Ravenloft Perilous Sight here, which honestly I should be doing some, I think I've need to move some stuff on. Anyway, so I've got two opponents here that I need to deal with. I've got we're gonna do Fang Boy here, and he is a what did I say he was gonna be? A husk, sort of a husk. He's formidable. What that means is when he does harm, he can do three harm on a hit, which sucks. And every time I get every harm that I do to him fills in one box, which is not it's challenging. Complicating this some more is we have Fang Boy's minion, who's a bone walker, and he is dangerous, which means when I do one, a harm to him, it fills in two boxes, but they also do two harm, which is not great. So I'm just using this as a way of tracking this stuff. But let's talk about like how you actually get into the fight. Okay, so let's get into, we look down here at combat moves. This is somewhat laid out in pretty good order here. We have enter the fray. When you enter into combat, let's see if we can close this up here a little bit, get a little bit more room. There we go. When you enter into combat, set the rank for each of your foes. Troublesome foes. We already did all this. Troublesome foes, dangerous foes, formidable, extreme, epic, so on and so forth. Then roll to determine who's in control. If you are facing off against your foe, roll heart. If you are moving into position against an unaware foe or striking without warning, you roll shadow. And if you're ambushed, roll wits. I don't think I'm ambushed. I'm trapped. That's not the same thing. He didn't like leap when I wasn't prepared. He was monologuing, gave me time to prepare. So I'm going to be rolling plus heart. And then we take this, see where we go from there. So I'm going to open this bar back up real quick while we're doing this. This is why I didn't close the bar back down. Shouldn't have done it in the first place. And we can roll plus hearts. Submit that. And actually, let's check my modifiers here because I might have some stuff. Combat talent. When you face danger, that's not going to matter. When you turn the tide, that's not going to matter. Ironclad, when I'm enduring harm. Helpful. Shieldkin, when you clash or battle alongside your companion, or when you face danger against an attack by standing together, add plus one. No. Bladebound, when you gather information. No. Okay. And then bonds, I have Reinhardt, Ismark, Irina. I wonder if, I'm sorry for looking at this right now, but I'm going to have to look this up because I haven't gotten into that many fights, which I'll pat myself on the back for. So let's take a look at the rules on bonds because I have bonds with somebody I'm going into a fight with here. Bonds provide narrative texture. I'm just going to double check the combat moves. If you're fighting with allies, each of you make your own. Oh, that's allies. Allies are, the book is very clear about the terminology. Allies mean other PCs. Everybody makes your own move to enter the fray, which kind of determines your initial positioning and readiness. If you're fighting if you're fighting a group of troublesome or dangerous foes, you can combine them. It doesn't really say anything about going into a fight with people that you have bonds with. So we're not going to. That's fine. All right, so no modifiers. I'm just going to submit my roll and see what I get. Boom. Oh, that's terrible. Well, it's still a strong hit, but I will take it. The red circle around there means I rolled a one, but luckily I'm rolling hearts, so that's good. And my challenge dice were shit, which is fantastic. So I get a strong hit. So what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. On the strong hit, you take plus two momentum and you have initiative. So this guy says, actually just thought of something about this. I'm actually going to change the situation here just a little bit because I just thought of something. Take plus two of them, and you have initiative. Now, initiative is different than, say, a fantasy game, a big-name fantasy game you might be familiar with. It doesn't mean that you go first, necessarily. What it means is you have the advantage going into the fight, and that maybe feels a little bit more like sort of a D&D thing, but what it means is there are certain moves that you don't get access to unless you have initiative. You can't finish a fight if you don't have initiative. There's two different ways that you can sort of get into a like actually do damage to somebody. One of them you get access to when you have initiative, and one of them you get access to when you don't. And guess which one is much more dangerous to get into? It's that one when you don't have initiative. So that's fine. So I just thought of something, and I'm going to change the map around a little bit. We're gonna duplicate some people here. So I'm going to say that there's actually two of these buggers. This actually isn't going to change much in the situation, but story-wise, it's interesting for me. And that guy is still here because I've remembered that I have a thing, and that thing is going to change my situation just a little bit. So What I have over here under my assets is I'm Bladebound to the Flail of the Heavens. The Flail of the Heavens is a I'm doing it as an asset, but it is also a relic. And that relic is that it is especially effective. It's a holy item. In the original module, it's like I don't know, it's crazy good against vampires, basically what it boils down to. So in this case, what I'm doing as a relic is it is particularly effective against vampires. And essentially what it does is it stages down their threat level. So if they are formidable, they become dangerous. If they're dangerous, they become whatever. So since this guy is a vampire, what I am doing basically is I'm saying, okay, he's formidable. The other two guys are dangerous. But since I have the Flail of the Heavens, this guy is dangerous. Also, he got moved down. He doesn't know it yet. He gets moved down. And to simplify my bookkeeping a little bit, what I am going to do under my progress thing is I am just going to say Fang Boy and minions, and they are collectively formidable. And I don't have to worry about this dude down here at all because they're just lumped in with Fang Boy. So I end up with one formidable sort of thing to deal with, the Fang Boy and the minions, which narratively speaking is a lot easier for me, by virtue of, sort of the presence of the Flail of the Heavens, letting things go. So anyway, I have initiative. I get a strong hit. I like the roll here because I'm not really ready to leap into action, but he's totally not ready. And that tells me a lot about what the situation is. These guys are kind of punks and they're following his lead, and he's relied on sort of, I'm going to say he's really relied on the intimidation and the power of his will and stuff like that over these peasants, right? And now he's facing off against someone else entirely. And he is not ready for this, where he's like, what was his last line that he said? It was something like, you need to be removed. And she's like, okay. And she does a little thing with her mace handle that releases the head to drop down into flail mode. Takes about 3 steps and swings the thing straight at the guy's head from probably right about here, like across the table, and it just goes out. I will admit to being somewhat influenced by the Castlevania animated show that's on Netflix. Huge fan, and that chain that Trevor's got at the end of the first season, that's pretty badass. I got a holy flail. Why wouldn't I be inspired by that? So that's pretty good. Anyway, let's get Brigida up here and take a look at what we have. The move that I'm going to be engaging here after I have facing. Now, what else do I get here? Strong hit, take +2 momentum. You have initiative. I'm definitely going to make sure I'm marking my momentum here. That gets me up to a 5. Awesome. I have initiative. And let's take a look at these combat moves. Enter the fray. I get strike. Now, that's interesting. I'll look at it and go, well, strike and clash. That seems like sort of the same thing. All right. And just to make it really clear, we have a strike, clash, which are two different kinds of attacks. Turn the tide, which is like, things are going really horribly, so I'm going to do something super risky to flip things around for me. End the fight, which is kind of like ending a quest, but you have to have sort of things going your way. And battle, which is really interesting because it's a way of doing basically the entire fight in one roll. As tempting as that is, I'm not going to do that because I actually want to go through the fight. Because sometimes there's just times where it's like I'm fighting a big battle, and I just want to sum things up, and that's fine. I will do that at some point in time because I want to play around with it. It's also worth noting that in addition to just the few combat moves you have here, there's a couple of other moves that just work in combat. Face danger. You make this move when you want to seek or avoid, overcome an obstacle in combat, or when you choose to focus on defense. You can secure an advantage when you try to gain some leverage, improve your position, set up another move. Compel. You can kind of compel them to surrender, negotiate, or trick them into giving up a fight. You can aid an ally, which I'm not going to be doing. Obviously, suffer moves, pay the price, ask the oracle if you're not sure what's going to be going on, all that kind of good stuff. So, anyway, there's other moves just other than these basic ones that are useful. So, and there's a few that I'm not going to get into probably, I don't think. In this one, there's a couple of oracles that are available that are. I wonder if they're in here. Yeah. So you can kind of go with, if you're not sure like what the bad guys are going to do, you can kind of just roll on, what's the method? What's the target? And they just randomly pick. It gives you an idea of like what the NPCs are going to do if you're not sure. And all of you are like, dude, just shut up and fight. My God, why are you just you're I'm not trying to drag things out. I really am not. Okay, so real quickly, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to, oops, combat moves. I'm going to strike. Now, strike requires when you have initiative and attack in close quarters, which kind of reminds me, there's supposed to be a volley move in here, and I can't remember. I don't see where that's at. Anyway, when you have initiative and attack in close quarters, roll iron. When you have initiative and attack at range, roll edge. Oh, it's all rolled together. Never mind. I am obviously, I'm attacking in close quarters. I'm rolling iron on a strong hit, inflict plus one harm. You retain initiative, and we'll see how that goes. Awesome. And I'm inflicting two harm by default. That's just what my stuff does. You're like, what? Your thing, your dice, your weapon, it's enchanted. It's like, I've already made the guy easier with this thing. Narratively gives me a lot of flexibility. I'm not also having it do additional harm. I could if I get the right if I get the right asset, but I'm not doing that at this point. So let's look at what I've got for my assets that can help me out with this, because I am about to strike. With my kindred, when you clash, oh, it's only clash or battle? Interesting. He doesn't help me when I am striking, only clashing, or in battle. That's interesting. Shield bearer, I'm not facing danger yet. Don't worry about turn the tide, and I haven't endured harm yet. And the flail of the heavens only helps me at this point in time. So, see this one. When you this is the one I want. When you strike with your kinblade to inflict savage harm, add plus one to your roll and inflict plus two harm on a hit. But then you have to endure stress because it's like difficult to deal with. But that's fine. All right, so I don't have any particular bonuses to this thing going into this necessarily. It's interesting that that guy only helps me with Clash, but that's actually cool because it means that your shield can helps you when you're kind of back on your heels, which is excellent. All right, one more. I swear I'm actually going to do this. Strike, rolling plus iron, heart for Wyvern. Oh, I don't. If I had a Wyvern, I could attack with heart, but I'm not going to do that. And let's see where we go. I don't have any extra bonuses. Bloop. Ah, bugger. Okay, that sucks. Oh my god. So I rolled an 8, which is the best I can roll, and my freaking challenge dice push me back with an 8 and a 10. That stinks. All right. On a miss, your attack fails, and you must pay the price. Your foe has initiative. Whew. I was not expecting that. Let's look at pay the price. So suffer moves. Nope. Delve. Nope. Do. Oh, first of all, mark your failure. I'm going to go back over here into my summary, mark my failure, and which is fine. Thin comfort. All right, pay the price. When you suffer an outcome of a move, choose one. Make the most obvious negative outcome happen. Envision two negative outcomes. Rate one is likely and one is less likely. Or roll on the table below. I'm just going to roll. We'll see what happens. Something of value is lost or destroyed. Something of value is lost. Okay, I have an idea for this. It's a terrible idea. All right, so the flail comes back, it goes out, and this guy, this is like Castlevania Vampire Quick. So he's got like a little rapier, thin rapier. Yikes! Just out and super quick, and he immediately he knocks the head of the flail aside, and I'm sending it back and forth a couple times. I'm bringing it back. I'm whipping it out. I'm circling in the room. The second or third time that I send it out. He knocks it aside again, deflects it, and it crashes into the as we're circling the room. Oh, I'm gonna move him a little bit here. Where's he at? He's like circled around. I'm coming around this way, and he deflects it aside, and the head of the flail goes past him and crashes into the wall above the fireplace and just destroys that picture of Irina, or the person who at least looks like Irina, that's hanging over the fireplace. Do I still have that picture around somewhere? Let me get it up here. It's the one from the original book. I kind of want to get Curse of Strahd just to see if they've updated the art. But in any case, so yeah, this picture of Irina that's up on the thing, it's obviously not her, but still kind of her. So in any case, it's fine. That's gonna just and the shock here is that Irina gasps, and it kind of like breaks my concentration that I've done this, and I'm wondering what's going on with her. But also, just down the road, I'm sort of parenthetically noting that whenever Strad notices that this picture has been destroyed when he comes through here, or sees it or anything like that, he is going to be enraged. This is going to be a very yeah, it's not going to be a great thing at all. So, yeah, that's not great. So the result there, as we were talking about before, do get back into the moves. Yeah, destroy something valuable, but back into the strike move, I totally miss. So my attack fails and I have to pay the price, which I have done. And your foe has initiative. So now that I have initiative, what can I do? Okay, basically what it boils down to now is that I need to figure out what I'm doing right now, and I don't have initiative, so I've got to make some kind of move. And I gotta decide sort of what's happening and sort of what happens as a result of that. And the only way to get initiative back is by getting a strong hit. So I'm kind of leaning into that. All right. And one other thing I'm gonna do, the crushing the painting is cool, but I think it's also gonna cost me a little bit of momentum. So I'm gonna take a momentum hit of plus one, or minus one. So all right, what I am going to do is I'm basically Brigitte is getting down into more of a defensive stance. She wants to see what's going on because this guy's a lot faster than she was expecting. So shield up, brings the mace back, or brings the basically draws the flail back into sort of a mace position and is kind of circling and is ready for his attack to see what's going on. At the same time, she yells to Ismark and says, "Watch our back, because we've got these other yahoos back behind us that we got to worry about here." So Ismark is kind of blocking this hallway here. He's got a sword out, and he's just basically got them bottlenecked in there, and keeping them at bay because they're more crude. They're using hands against his sword. He's got a bit of advantage. You got Arena here at the door. So I'm circling, Fang Boy here, Arena up by the doorway, Ismark guiding. So he's got our back, and I am got my shield up. And I am going to face danger to kind of defend and see how this is going. Now, obviously, I'm kind of worried about this. I gotta kind of try to turn the tide. So, assets that I have that are actually going to apply to this, and just because of the way things are going, when I face danger using my shield as cover, I add plus one. Awesome. And with my shield ken, when I clash or battle alongside a companion, or when I face danger against an attack by standing together, add plus one. Now, I'm not doing like back to back, Robin, but I am telling him what to do. We are coordinating, we're doing this, and I'm allowing that. So that's a total of a plus two, and I'm facing danger with what am I facing danger with? I think I'm probably facing danger with iron. But let me just double check and see what face danger says I should be doing. When I am facing danger with aggressive action, forceful defense, strength or endurance, roll plus iron. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, so I am going to face danger. I'm choosing iron, and my modifier between the shield and Ismark's standing together thing, I'm rolling with a plus two. So that's not too bad. I'm pretty happy about that. See how it turns out. Ooh, I'll take it. Yes. Strong hit. Strong hit. So on the strong hit, you are successful. Take plus one momentum. Awesome. I'll get that back up to a five. And so yeah, shields up. Ismark's basically keeping them at bay as much as possible. Irina's got her sword out too. She's not my companion, obviously, but she's basically just making things difficult one way or the other. Whenever Fangboy starts, I really should probably give him a real name, but whatever. But in the spirit of D&D games everywhere, I, as the player, have given a what should be a scary NPC a stupid nickname, and it infuriates the GM. But in any case, whenever Fangboy like starts to move this general direction, I'm like getting in here and kind of getting in his way. Yeah, he's fast. Rapiers don't work well against shields. And that flail sort of keeps him at bay. I manage at one point in time to kind of look like I'm leaving myself an opening, and he comes in for a really fast thing, and I basically just let it happen. Rather than blocking as I have been doing, I step back out of the way, and that flail comes back for another shot. So I'm going back for another strike. As I've already established, I don't have any bonuses to the strike. But I'm working with advantage or initiative, so that works out all right for me. All right, let me get Brigida back up here real quick, and we are going to strike with our happy little combat moves in here. Again, when you have initiative and attack in close quarters, roll plus iron. Awesome. Gonna do that. It's awesome. We're gonna get in there, no modifiers. See what I get. Boom. Aha! Much better. Strong hit. Awesome. Okay, so when you have initiative attack in close quarters, roll plus iron. On a strong hit, you inflict plus one harm and you retain initiative. This is excellent. I am definitely going to press my attack on this. So I normally do two harm, but I do three harm because of my strong hit on my strike. And for every harm that I do a box of damage. Since this Fang Boy and the Husk and the minions are formidable, I get to fill in a box for everyone. For every one of the harm that I do. So that's three in. And this is like any other quest that I'm trying to progress, right? I want to, how do I want to put this? I want to get it up as far as I can in the bar before I try to conclude the fight, because the closer I am to the end, the better chances I have are. So again, I'm liking these strong hits. It's like, so I'm yeah. So basically, I let this thing happen and I come in low, or look like a come and go. He's a little bouncy, fast guy. I'm expecting it, so I'm going in low. He's already responding to it and leaping, and I bring the thing back over and down, and it smashes into his shoulder and knocks him back into like sort of a shelf of books. That's up there on the thing, and I am on him. I do the little jerk thing. The chain comes back into the handle, at the kind of like sort of the mace stance, and I am on him immediately. Shield bearing down, pressing him down. He's not so fast when I can hold him down, and going for the quick shots around the shield to drive him back into the thing. Hold them off! I've got him! And I'm going for another strike. While I have the while I have the initiative, and we're gonna get in here, and oops, gotta get into the actual moves. Strike again, and I'm going for another iron roll, no modifiers. Crossing my fingers, that is a weak hit. All right, fine, weak hits. It's very, very simple in terms of the way this. It's interesting because it's not next to any of the combat moves, but if you get in here and just do in the wonderful index that they have in the back, look up initiative, it explains it very simply in here. It's really easy. If you get a strong hit, you retain or gain initiative. If you get a weak hit, you lose initiative. So on a weak hit, you inflict your harm and you lose initiative. That's fine. All right, so strike, weak hit, inflict your harm and lose initiative. So I get a hit in, but I've kind of lost my forward momentum, which means something is going to come a little go a little bit sideways for me. That's fine. I'm going to go over to my progress bar. I inflict my harm with no special bonuses, so that gives me two. That gives me up to progress of five on this, which is I'm not it's not enough for me to really want to try and push this at this point in time. But things, I feel like I've got this guy on the ropes. And right about then, he lets out some sort of shout, or he shouts something. He would say he shouts something in some language I don't recognize. And the two minions that he's got in the hallway really just surge forward. And Ismark and Irina are driven back into the room and are kind of back on their heels. Claws going. I hear Ismark sort of cry out a little bit, because he gets kind of scored by one of these, they score a hit kind of on him, and they come in here, and now I've got this whole mess here with these two are kind of in the room, because I fell back to him, so they've dived in there, and now I've got to, deal with this hot mess of a situation. Okay. All right. I think this is where I'm going to be a little bit risky, and I'm going to try a clash, because while it is risky, and it is the kind of move that you do when you are a little bit on your heels, you don't have initiative. I have some advantages to clash because of the assets that I have at my disposal. So let's take a look at that real quick. This isn't going to be. This is going to be. We're going into ugly melee mode here. But let's take a look at this, because I've got a couple things here. Thanks to my shield, when you face danger, using your shield as cover, you add plus one. But when you clash in close quarters, take plus one momentum on a strong hit. That's not actually a bonus for me right now, but I like the idea of getting a bonus of momentum on the strong hit, so that's pretty cool. And then with my shieldkin, when I clash or battle alongside my companion, add plus one. So I get a plus one on my clash roll. It's not quite that plus two that I had from playing it defensively with face danger. That's definitely to my advantage, but I don't want to do the same exact thing again, the same tactics. Like, oh, I'm going to hunker down, and eventually you're going to screw up. For right now, I'm going to go in with the clash and see where that gets me. So it's clash with a plus one. Going to go with that. I get a plus one, and if I get a strong hit, I get a plus one to my momentum, which is excellent. I'm going to get back in here to the moves and take a look at clash. Which is a slightly different wording than strike. When your foe has initiative and you fight them in close quarters, roll plus iron on a strong hit, et cetera, and so forth. Let's find out. So, rolling, I'm going to bring in iron, and I get a plus one on my roll. Let's hope for the best. What do we got? Bloop. That's not the best. That is the opposite of the best. Okay, so I'm coming in there. Ismark and me, Irina, together. Let's push them back. Let's get them out of here. What's that line from the original Buffy the Vampire movie? Fighting one vampire is considerably easier than fighting 10. Something like that. Fighting three vampires is a lot harder than fighting one. On a miss, you are outmatched and must pay the price, and your foe has initiative. All right. I'm going to go with a really straightforward one on this, and it's simply that I'm going to endure harm because it feels like the kind of thing that should happen at this point in time. Like I'm going into melee. It was risky. It was stupid. I shouldn't have done it, and I am definitely paying the price for my thing. I'm clawed at. Fang Boy gets back up on his feet. Fast swords. The brute force of the assholes that he's got at his beck and call are messing with me, and I am going to take a hit. And because this is a formidable fight, I take three harm, and that drops my health down to two, which is the very definition of not awesome. Okay, plus I get to endure harm. So, under suffer harm, when you face physical damage, suffer minus health equal to your foe's rank or as appropriate to the situation. Then roll either plus health or plus iron, whichever is higher. In this case, my health is at two and my iron is also at two, so it doesn't really matter. On a strong hit, choose one. On a weak hit, I press on, so on and so forth. So, what else have I got here? I think I've got an asset that's going to help me with this. So, face danger, no, not the shield, not this. When you equip or adjust your, okay, lightly armored. When you endure harm in a fight, add plus one to the roll and take a plus one momentum on a hit. I will happily take that. Okay, great. So I get a plus one on my endure harm. So I'm going to roll, I'm going to say I'm going to roll iron just because I can. Whoops, sorry, wrong thing. Roll iron. I get a plus one modifier. Okay, cancel. I'm actually going to do this through the moves. Rolling iron. I get a plus one modifier because of my assets. Ah! Woo! All right, check that out. Action score and opportunity. Sweet. All right, so I got an action score of five, challenge dice of four. So I beat it. I get a strong hit. And the strong hit actually gives me initiative back, which is fun. And I can choose to shake it off if your health is greater than zero, suffer minus one momentum in exchange for plus one health, or embrace the pain and take plus one momentum. My momentum is a five. I don't like having a health of two. That sucks a little bit. So I'm going to take my health back up to a three by lowering my momentum by one. And oh boy, what is my opportunity? What have I got for oracles here? Major plot twist? True identity is revealed. True enemy is revealed. That's not going to work to my advantage right now. All right. Yeah, I can work with this. Okay, so the oracle under combat actions is intimidate or frighten. And that's technically what the NPCs would be trying to do or whatever. But I'm going to take this as what it means is I've got an opportunity here to intimidate or frighten them, which theoretically I could do anyway. But yeah. I think I'm going to go with that. So one of the options I can do in here is sort of a compel with combat. So basically I can use compelling combat and sort of force them to surrender or, you know, flee the fight, that kind of thing. Yeah, let's go with that. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a compel move, which let me get back into the moves here. And I've got a strong, technically this is a strong deal here. And I'm going, not a combat move, it's an adventure, isn't it? A social move? Where is it? Relationship compel. All right, there we go. Temperature. I am definitely threatening or inciting and rolling plus iron. And I don't think I've got any bonuses for this. I could theoretically have it if I had some of the stuff on my shield leveled up, but I do not. So I am just going to roll on iron. And you know what? I'm going to give myself a plus one for this since it gives me the opportunity. I already have the opportunity. I can always, you know. I don't have to roll the end of fight move to, you know, negotiate a truce or whatever like that. I can just compel him to do it. But I am going to give myself a plus one because I could do this thing anyway. I could just say, give up. I have the flail of heavens. You are outmatched and you are frankly underwhelming. I could always say that. So the opportunity I'm going to do mechanically because I'm just that kind of a jam is I'm going to give myself that plus one. Call the plus one forward. Whatever. Fine. So I'm going to do that. And, ooh, I got a weak hit. Yuck. Okay. On a weak hit, as above. Okay. They'll do what you want or share what they know. Take plus one momentum. If you use this exchange to gather information, make that move now and add plus one. Weak hit, as above, but they ask something from you in return. Envision what they want. Yeah. I am not taking any of that. So, yeah. He'll say, it's like, I'll tell me what you did with Gertruda. I want the girl back. I'm like, yeah. That is never going to happen, laughing boy. So you can just deal. And, so he's not going to give up. I'm not going to give up Gertruda. kind of at a stalemate, sort of a wasted roll. Bah, that's fine. We know where we both stand for that. And what I'm going to do now is like, we got to kind of pin down still. So we're still, let me close this room, this thing up here. All right. So we've got, you know, guys, my people are over here. I feel like I should have my other two icons for my companions just because I feel like I'm totally outnumbered here, but we're kind of facing off, you know, cool. So I'm going to go again. In this case, I am perfectly happy with doing the, more defensive move. I'm going to face danger and see if I can, maneuver for a better position, and for that I am going to do face danger with iron. And as already established, as I'm working with Ismark and I've got my shield, I get a +2 on that roll. That seems like a really good roll for me to make when I'm in this kind of nasty situation. So I'm rolling with iron, and I am taking a +2 modifier to that because of my assets that I have available. I'm a good defensive fighter, not so good with the offense. What? Oh, fuck me. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's look at that. On a miss, you fail or your progress is undermined by a dramatic or costly turn. Your progress is undermined by a dramatic or costly turn of events. Pay the price. This is not good. All right, pay the price. What do we got here? I'm playing it defensively. And that's lame. I don't want to do that again. Causes a delay or puts you at a disadvantage. Make the most obvious negative outcome happen. On a miss, you fail, or your progress is undermined by a dramatic or costly turn of events. Fuck. All right. Shortest campaign I ever played. How did you manage to TPK yourself? What an excellent question. Sean Tompkins likes to say that Ironsworn players, when they're playing solo, tend to be extra hard on themselves. I am not going to prove that wrong, probably right now. All right, so something is dramatically upends my progress. Okay, this one? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? The doors, the double doors on the side of the study that I've never gone through before, burst open, and through it strides Stradvan Zarevic, cloak flailing out behind him. And he says, "What is the meaning of this?" And he's like glaring at both of these. Everybody, what? And he stops short because he sees the destroyed painting. Such an idiot. He just sees this destroyed painting. He sees Irina. What are you doing? How dare you? That's where I'm going to stop. I'm going to pause right now. I got to process what's happening right now because Strahd, I got to run. I'm going to cast GTFO. All right, we'll find out what happens next time. But yeah, my life just got considerably more complicated. Oh, considerably more complicated. Son of a bitch. All right. Hi, kid.